Being here, we are celebrating the 100 years of public rehabilitation, the 30 years of the ADA, and the 20th year of the Nebraska Commission for the Blind as a separate independent agency. We were planning a lot of big things, like at the national level for the 100 years of public rehabilitation, the 30 years of the ADA, and our 20th anniversary. And I think we all know, due to COVID-19, we have to do things differently. So we do have people across Nebraska and the nation, and maybe a couple around the world, joining us via Zoom. And I thank them for all of this. Before I start, I want to thank the organizing committee, Kat Carroll, who put a lot of efforts here, Adrian Moody, Angie Hoff. Am I missing anybody here, I think? And Nancy Kaufman. How can I forget her? Okay. So with that, I'm just going to say a few more words, and then we are going to start introducing our speakers. One of the phrases that I remember the most when I do my job is, power without wisdom and love is a waste of energy. And our speakers today, besides the power they have, they're very wise people, and they show passion and love for what they are doing. The 100 years of public vocational rehabilitation, 100 years ago, it wasn't the way how it was. In fact, blind people didn't qualify for public rehabilitation back in those days. Blind people were considered disabled too severe. And a lot of other areas too. The way it evolved was because of consumers, people with disabilities, pushing for the change. The same thing happened with the ADA, and even before the ADA, we have in the blindness community what is well known as the White Cane Law. Blind people organized themselves and wanted to make sure that they have access to all public areas, the right to use their canes, to walk with a guide dogs wherever they needed, and the right for employment. Then became the ADA, but again, people with disabilities worked very hard for years to come up with that law. And then 20 years ago, we had the creation of the Commission for the Blind. It wasn't easy. I remember I came in 1998, and I heard all the history of it. For years, consumers in Nebraska were working to create this Commission for the Blind. And as a blind consumer, I joined the effort. So it was nice to get there and help to push it. But as we know, all the law and services could be worthless without passion and without involvement. I'm going to be asking Mr. Jason Jackson, who represents the governors. He's the HR liaison with the governor's office, and also the director of the Department of Administrative Services. If you could come, Jason. We are working with the Department of Administrative Services to create new jobs for blind people. But I'll let him give some of his remarks, and then we are going to jump into the next speaker.
Thank you, Carlos, for the gracious introduction and just the honor of being here today as we celebrate 30 years of the American Disability Act and 20-year history of the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired. It's my honor to be here on behalf of Governor Ricketts and help all of you celebrate this very momentous occasion. And I want to start by acknowledging our host, Carlos, thank you for your leadership. You've been a leader in this agency since 1998, over 20 years of service to the state of Nebraska and to this agency, the last 3 years serving as its director. So just thank you for your leadership and your partnership. And I'm going to ask those in the room to join me in a round of applause. Governor Ricketts has declared this month the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and the Visually Impaired Month. And so it's my pleasure and my honor on behalf of the governor to go ahead and read that proclamation now before proceeding into some brief remarks. The proclamation reads, "Whereas blind Nebraskans, knowing that they could best be served by a freestanding commission with a consumer-driven board, tirelessly worked with elected officials for many years to improve services for the blind, first from the Department of Public Institutions and later from the Department of Health and Human Services to create a separate agency for the blind. And whereas the Nebraska Legislature and Governor Mike Johanns ultimately listened to their blind constituents and passed legislation to create the Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired, and whereas, on July 1st, 2000, NCBVI officially opened its doors and began serving the blind of Nebraska. And whereas, NCBVI now has a 20-year history of providing nationally recognized vocational rehabilitation and independent living services to blind Nebraskans through the agency directly answerable to its blind consumers. Now, therefore, I, Pete Ricketts, Governor of the State of Nebraska, do hereby proclaim the month of July 2020 as Nebraska Commission for the Blind Month in Nebraska and call upon all our citizens to recognize the successful partnership between the Commission and blind Nebraskans as we celebrate NCBVI's mission of empowering blind individuals, promoting opportunities, and building belief in the blind." Carlos, I have the official proclamation here. I'm holding it up to the audience now, and I'm going to go ahead and hand that directly to you.
Thank you, sir.
There you go.
Good.
Okay. Once again, I am just honored to be here on behalf of Governor Ricketts and help the commission celebrate this milestone, help us acknowledge 30 years of the American with Disability Act, the 20-year history of this specific agency, and all of the work of everybody here in terms of uplifting the blind community and helping them to fully participate in society. It occurred to me coming over here today that right now in current events, you know, there's really a national moment about lifting up voices that often aren't heard, about a national movement about access to services and rights and equal protection. And this is an agency which for the past 20 years, many of those under Carlos's leadership, have been lifting the voices of blind Nebraskans and helping them to fully participate in society and be a part of that conversation and that movement. So it's just an absolute honor to be here, and what an honorable mission. From the Ricketts administration's perspective and my agency and administrative services specifically, we take a great deal of pride in our contribution to that effort and our partnership with Carlos and his team. You know, we've, through our Task Force for Building Renewal, have invested over $6 million over the last couple of years in accessibility to state infrastructure for the blind and the disabled community. We have our ADA task force is administered out of the Department of Administrative Services under the leadership of Gloria Eddins, advocating for accessibility and accommodations for both the public and our teammates in state government so that they can fully participate and serve their communities and their constituents. And so it's really an honorable mission and one that we're proud to be a part of and proud to partner with. And most recently, we enjoyed the partnership of the commission with respect to expanding opportunities for blind businesses and contractors with the passage of LB 220 last year, spearheaded by Carlos, introduced by Senator Anna Wishart, and signed into law by Governor Ricketts, which expanded the Nebraska Business Enterprise Program and has directly contributed to the expansion of blind vendors taking over vending opportunities in 12 of Nebraska's correctional facilities in the past year. So a great success story. And we know there's much more work to be done, and it's a journey that continues. Even now, there's work that's ongoing to expand opportunities with respect to technology accessibility. And that's work that's, again, being led by the commission in partnership with administrative services, our procurement team, the university, and many others to try to expand opportunities and accessibility and really just create the customer-focused state government, which is at the core of accessibility and really just, again, creating opportunity for people to engage and benefit from their services across Nebraska. Carlos, it's been an honor to meet your team today and to be come and for you to host us. Truly an inspirational mission, an inspirational facility, one that Nebraskans across the state can take great pride in, the services and the mission that you and your team are delivering upon, and one that we're proud to have a small part in contributing to. So thank you for the invitation today. Congratulations on 20 years of outstanding service to blind Nebraskans, and congratulations on having this month declared the Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired Month across the state of Nebraska. So well done.
Thank you. Thank you, Jason. And indeed, we are partnering, and we look forward to continue partnering. In state government, it's not easy to evolve, but it's very nice to evolve, especially with a team like the one that Jason is heading. He wants to make sure that we are doing it the way that is right, so future administration won't be changing things back. So his leadership is helping us on that regard, as well as the governor. Thank you, Jason. With that, it's my pleasure also to introduce the commissioner of the Rehabilitation Services Administration and the Interim Assistant Secretary of Education. I met Mark Schultz, I think back in 98, he was working for the Assistive Technology Partnership. And then a couple of years later, I called him, you know, working for an entity serving the people with disabilities. I thought he should hire blind people. And just met with him over the phone, and without hesitation, he said, sure, send those wage kids here. And every year since then, he not only gave them the opportunity, but also elevated expectations. So I knew that Mark, from there, he was a guy who really had the passion and the wisdom to serve people with disabilities. Then he became director of General Volk Rehab here in Nebraska. And now he's running RSA, and with that, I would like to introduce Mark Schultz for us. We have him here.
Thank you, Carlos. I hope you can hear me.
Can we get a mic? Can you hold for a second? Let's try to get there. Is that better?
Are you able to hear me? Can you hear me?
No.
Very well.
Can you get it?
Not very well.
Can you turn that up?
Yes.
I think everybody in Zoom can hear you, but the room here cannot. How about, can you try again, Mark?
Yeah. Can you hear me better now?
Is that better?
That's better.
Yeah. That's better.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you, Carlos. I appreciate the introduction, and you cut out there for a minute. I lost you, but hopefully you were saying good things about me. So I just want to say I'm very excited to be here. I think as commissioner of RSA and as a former partner for the Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired, but as a Nebraskan, And I truly appreciate the opportunity to join you in the celebration today. So much so that I actually put on a suit and tie for you. So, just don't ask me to stand up, right? So, this year, 2020, is really a big year for celebrations. And as has been mentioned, it's also the 100th anniversary of the Vocational Rehabilitation Program, which was established on June 2nd of 1920. And the 30th anniversary of ADA was this last week. Both of these are very significant milestones for individuals. But also, I think the connection between the two. The Rehabilitation Act of 1973 includes Section 501, and that laid the foundation for the expansion of civil rights that occurred under the Act. So, and those are two significant pieces of legislation, but if that weren't significant enough, we're also celebrating the anniversary of the Commission for the Blind and the Disabled. We're independent. So, what I really appreciate is for the work that you embody the promise of the Rehab Act and the ADA, and that you continue to empower those you serve by bringing opportunity for their full integration into society and competitive employment, independence, and self-sufficiency. So, congratulations on leading the way, being part of making the lives of people. So I do want to just touch a little bit over the accomplishments of the past year. So starting in year one, I'm just kidding, I'm not going to go through year one. But back in 1920, things began with the passage of the Smith-Vess Act, and vocational rehabilitation started out primarily serving at that time. There were no provisions for serving individuals who were blind during the period, because at the time, the notion was that individuals blind are good work. It wasn't until 1936, passed the Randolph-Shapiro Act, that the Act brought in people to the Act. The Randolph-Shapiro Act, as you know, created a program that continues today to provide blind entrepreneurs a priority to operate any facilities in the federal building. And then in 1943, the Barton-LaFollette Act made significant changes to the VR program. Expanded services that can be provided, but it also created separate agencies. So, thus, it created the opportunity for possible and for celebration. The Rehabilitation Act replaced the VR Act in 1973, and that brought more significant changes to the VR program. That included prioritizing serving people with disability, implementing greater consumer involvement in the VR process. And it also provided the seed for independent living centers, because it made the shift from the medical model that was all the time to one being based on major life functions and informed choice for the different. And as we said, in 1990, the rules signed into law, and most recently in 2014, the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act, or WIOA, was passed, and that went into law. So I'm going to talk a little more about that impact in just a few minutes. But I just want to touch on the current situation. And because of the COVID-19 pandemic, we're faced with core change, right? All of us are having to rethink how we best prepare, how we expand opportunities, and envision the future for people with disabilities at a time where there's a lot of uncertainty. And so what I really want to recognize is how VR programs across the country have been responding with innovative and creative strategies to provide services. Training continues through remote technology. So just as we're using technology today, and the move to telework, I think has created opportunities for individuals that might have struggled with a traditional work environment. So we try to look for the silver lining, but we can't. Take advantage of the opportunities that exist. And that's always been a strength of the VR program. But before I even got to RSA was starting to rethink VR performance. how can we continue to move forward? How can we evolve into the potential? And so there are some priorities as well. The first priority was around performance data. And so I want to share a little bit about some of the accomplishments that are occurring and progress that's been made around these priorities. So the first one was around performance data. As I said, and a performance data work group was established. And RSA is working with VR agencies to create a shared vision of what success looks like for VR programs, making sure that VR agencies have tools that can assist them with data analysis, program evaluation, to build off of data and use it to program. Most importantly, to create a vision. What the performance measures that we have. Do they need to be adjusted? Do they need to adapt for the environment that we're in? Do they really reflect what we think is quality? What is meaningful? And so I'm excited about the work of this group because they are looking to help us assess how we might improve the data that we collect to really measure the quality. The second priority is providing flexibility in the use of data. So, as you know, we made some progress there. We had the notice of interpretations that came out around prior approval and the employment transition services. So, those flexibilities are in place now, even though we continue to work on our responses to the comments that we received in the process and finalize those. But we already have the flexibilities. They exist. In addition, we've looked at the current environment around COVID-19. We know that there's more flexibility required right now. In the Secretary's report to Congress in terms of what authority and what waivers are necessary, the Secretary requested the waiver to set aside the 15% to waive the 15% set aside for pre-funded transition services. And that's due to the impact of COVID-19, but only for this period of impact. I think there needs to be some more flexibility because of limited accessing at the state. Even though I know there's work to be done, there's still significant work for existing great opportunities, workforce learning, and for those work experiences. We're trying to create some flexibility. So we're hopeful that Congress will listen and that in the upcoming bill, third priority is around technical assistance and innovation. And I'm excited to share with you, and some of you may already know this, that the notice inviting applications for technical assistance will soon be published. Focuses on two things, one around quality management and the other around quality. Quality employment, really, I think we've been doing a lot of things. Place strategies that move us in that direction, but this really will provide technical assistance, focus on evidence-based services that lead to better paying jobs, better pathways, for example. But if you're going to use those strategies before you commit to those, hopefully you as a decision maker have to make that decision. So the other center around quality management will be providing support to leadership and decision makers. So that they can have the knowledge, data, and the understanding about those so that they can make good choices about programmatic decisions. The technical assistance centers will then be providing the TA to support states in the hopes that we can improve the quality of the services, but also the quality of VR programs overall. And that will lead to quality. Fourth priority is around monitoring. Some of you may know that there was a tremendous backlog of reports back to states that we had previously been on site and conducted monitoring. There was a 2-year backlog. And we were on track to get all those previous monitoring reports out until COVID-19. We had to reprioritize. But just last week, we notified selected programs of our intent to begin the monitoring process. So we intend to not just look at components, but really focus on technical assistance where we can provide and connect programs to effectively assist us to improve the healthcare system. Whether we're truly supporting the program improvement, whether they're providers of quality services that are being offered, that will be more so the focus, even though compliance is an important thing. I mean, you and all programs will be in addition to the work group that was established, and it's comprised again of representatives from the work groups that's working on recommendations for people and how we can make the process more meaningful for you and ensure that it will be quality improvement. The fifth priority is around communication. Even though it hasn't stopped us from making some progress in this area, COVID-19. How we go about doing it. We've established quarterly meetings with all our programs so that we're in touch and providing you information as much as we can. And then, in addition, we are holding periodic webinars around specific topics to provide more information. But what I hope you've seen in Nebraska is that we really have focused on elevating these programs. Is the 100th anniversary and a prime opportunity. We've been doing that both in D.C. and also nationally as we hold these webinars, celebrate the program partnerships we have, celebrate the success stories we have. Really, like I said, this is a program to hold out great programs and stories that really show that we're making a difference in lives and lives. In addition, many states have adopted the materials that have similar applications to focus the message of providing the program. I'm very excited about that. So, within those five priorities, I feel are pretty vague and significant progress. So, just for a few seconds, I also want to touch on the Nebraska program because I know that's a particular interest to all this mission. And just to demonstrate the value of the program overall, and this is not the most current data, but it's the latest data that was provided to you. The gross sales are probably, and this is 2018 data, was over $665 million. And of that amount, the total net earnings was just over $38 million. So if you think about the number of vendors that there are across the country, which are just over 1,800 vendors, that average income is $66,000 a year. So that's a pretty good wage. So the Randolph Shepherd program is a very good reference for doing those jobs and opportunities for more. When I came into the program, we knew that we were struggling Randolph Shepherd to be responsive to across the country. And so we've done some things to change that. We added three new employees to the Randolph Shepherd team over the last year. In addition, the Office of Public Principal has added a couple of things to be able to go back to the people from the back of the team. So we had additional staff.
A little better.
I guess right now, I
secretary's waiver request. We put forward recommendation of a waiver request to allow for the R funds so that they could be used to restock vending facilities to be able to assist reestablishing these lights. But we're still waiting for Congress to act on that. And again, hopefully that we'll see more within the bills and the planning bills. But I just want to share a couple other things before I conclude. While we continue to think about VR performance, we're also aware of other trends that we're seeing in the data. And some of these have been mentioned in our report to Congress on the impact of WIOA on the program. That was submitted several months ago. I'm just going to run through a few numbers here, and I'll go through them very quickly. But the number of applicants over a 10-year period is significantly increased. In 2010, there were over 700,000 individuals that applied to the VR program. And in 2019, which is the latest set of data, it was 446,000 applied. Very significant. At the same time, those individuals who were eligible increased from 693,000 to 399,000 in that period of time. So that's almost a 50% increase over that period of time. And then individuals that exited with employment and outcome went from a high of 179,000 in 2016. It's fallen to 142,000. So about a 37,000 decrease in terms of the number of individuals exiting with a successful outcome. So that again is another significant drop. The rehab rate went from a high of around 57% in 2016 to 45.5% in 2019. So a lot of that may have been impacted by changes in WIOA. And so if we look at the requirement around pre-employment transition services specifically, we can see an increase in program years 2017 to 2018. We went from 179,000 to 248,000 students that were in transition program. We also saw a similar increase from 85,000 to 137,000 for those students who were potentially eligible. Overall, the students who applied for VR services and were receiving pre-employment transition services increased by 17% in just that 1 year period of time. That's had a significant impact on how the VR program went. When we look overall at who was serving, the number of participants who were 24 and younger is over 50% right now. So when we think about us being an adult program, that's changed. The majority of individuals being served are 24 and younger. So that has significant implications for the VR program. Now, I just want to share a few other statistics here that are specific to blind VR agents. Now, if we look at the number of students with disabilities that were reported, in 2017 and 2018, those numbers, we went from 525,200 to 638,000 over that 1 year period across all VR agencies. For one VR agency, 8,889 students were served in 2017. That had a slight decrease to 8,511 in 2018. And we saw a similar trend for the number of potentially eligible disabilities being served. There was a decrease in the blind VR agency for students.